Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In Michael Hassan's debut novel, Crash and Burn, we're told a story that people are all too familiar with in today's headlines. In the weeks and months after his school was taken hostage at gunpoint by a student, Crash rehashes his role in saving the school and the events that led the two childhood friends to take two very different paths. This page-turning fictional story has the grit of real teenage life and stresses out the reader in ways that makes you crave more.
For me, in deciding that I was going to write a novel after several years, I put together in my mind this primordial soup of where I wanted to go and created this incredible universe that mirrored the universe that my son and his friends were living in at the time. So it was kind of a parallel path that Crash had been taking to a lot of kids in the towns that I live in.
Now, we are set in Westchester, New York,
yes.
And Crash, the way his voice comes through, and it is very gritty. And honestly, there are so many YA novels that I read that don't really have this truth behind it and how they act, and that they're always getting high. They do go to parties, and a lot of people try to avoid that.
Well, the first thing that I wanted to do is create a 100% accurate depiction of what today's youth are going through. And I think that there's a big difference between the kids growing up in my time and these days, because their use of partying, their use of drugs is kind of sport-like, and it's an Olympian concept. They're all not only wanting to get high, they want to get the highest. And when I noticed that, my first inclination was perhaps to do an article about it that morphed into this novel.
The group that Crash hangs out with is the Club Crew. And I love how they became Club Crew, and also that camaraderie that they have with each other. But at the same time, you know, they still have their kind of, we still hang out with him, even though he's a total moocher.
Yeah, there's this element of teenage isolationism that I think every kid goes through that's represented in both characters.
Crash, that's his nickname. His real name is, or his full name is Steven Krasinski.
Yeah.
And he has ADHD. He's been diagnosed with it. And the first time that he meets Burn, he looks at him and he says, well, you know, it just means you're dumb.
Right. Well, Burn says to Crash, because Burn's medicated for other psychological issues, including potentially bipolar disorder. And his reaction when he hears that Crash has ADD is that, yeah, well, that just means you're lazy or stupid.
Which obviously is not true. But at the same time, it's that divide that Crash sees between smart kids and dumb kids, and also kind of having him look at life in a little bit of a different way after he meets Burn.
Well, certainly Burn in some respects invalidates him in the same way that Crash's father invalidates him. So he takes that line that Burn says somewhat seriously, because it's not the first time that he heard something like that. And in my research, a lot of ADD kids have heard that before.
You mentioned Crash's father, Jacob, and I mean, he is just such a horrible, horrible father, constantly calling him a disappointment and a loser, and he'll never amount to anything. And that's definitely not how you encourage your child to do better.
Well, I've seen and I'm not singling anyone out, but I've seen the number of fathers on the baseball field and soccer field and at dinner parties that reminded me very much of the type of father that I wanted to portray in this. Now, obviously, the book is written from Crash's perspective, and he's not always the most reliable narrator. So there may be a little bit more to Crash's father than he lets on.
But certainly
we don't see a lot of that.
Right, we don't. And even if we were to get a little bit of a glimpse, which sometimes we do when Crash does have an epiphany on thinking, I kind of see where my dad's coming from, but
Right. Whatever,
forget it, because he's a total butthead to me anyways.
I think there is a part of Jacob at one point that does want to save Crash from himself and sees the path that Crash would go along And for various reasons, as you know, that doesn't happen.
This whole novel, Crash and Burn, it's a novel within a novel. Crash is telling us the story that led up to the events of Burn taking over their high school. And it's interesting how we kind of flip back and forth, but don't really realize it until Crash interjects and says, what's currently happening versus what has led up to those events. And getting into, not just getting into Crash's mind, but just the way that the teens are, and you mentioned this earlier, of just the grit, how it is, how he just wants to sleep with these girls. And now that I'm a hero because he saved the school, I can sleep with whoever I want, or I can do whatever I want because now I have a book deal and I have the money to do so. And colleges will actually look at me now and accept me.
Right. At the same time, what I wanted to do is have Crash do some self-evaluation, self-analysis, and the writing part of the book allows him to get beyond that a little bit.
I like the advice that Newman, one of his club crew members, gives him, because Crash has surrounded him with extremely smart people. He knows that they are geniuses. And Newman is one of those people that no matter what, whether he's high or not, he can see what people are thinking in Crash's mind and knows what needs to be done. So even though he's one of his friends, he's also like a mentor, especially when it comes to having to sit down and write this book about the events
right.
that led up to it.
Right. He's also one of the people that validate Crash, and Crash has a lot of talents, as do a lot of ADD kids, that aren't recognized under the current regime of school and parents and teachers and psychologists. And Crash has a number of those things that his friends remind him of that allow him to be more than just an ADD kid, even when he uses that label as a tool for getting what he wants.
And I want to talk about Roxanne. And this is Burn's sister, who is 2 years older than Crash and Burn. And the way that they first meet, she pretty much tells Crash, you're an idiot. But
she always keeps him off guard.
And that's good. He needs somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because his own sister, I mean, she takes the same outlook as Crash's father, saying that you are a disappointment and you will never amount to anything. And there's very, very few sibling camaraderie moments between them.
Right, between him and his older sister. His younger sister's a different story.
Absolutely. Jamie. Jamie's the caring one, but at the same time, she's also the one that is very insightful about what's happening within Crash's family.
Right. At the same time, we know that there's something going on with her that Crash isn't able to explore.
And it kind of upsets him because, I mean, as an older brother, he is protective over her, but his mind is all over the place. It kind of gets pushed to the wayside until something happens.
Exactly. And there's one particular scene in which he's in an auditorium and she decides that she wants to sit with him. And for a fleeting moment, he wonders why she isn't sitting with her friends. And when I wrote that scene, I was thinking about his reaction, but I was also thinking about a typical mom's reaction when they read that. And a lot of moms would have anxiety about why their daughter isn't socializing the same way.
Again, we're getting back to how teens, how they don't always feel like they fit in. And while you may have, some may have a group of friends, but you also feel like you are different from all the other people, and it's how far you want to go to try to fit in.
Right. And in some respects, Crash's need for that acceptance takes him along the Jackass path.
Right, which is the MTV TV show, and Steve-O is his idol.
Right. Because he knows that the more outrageous he is and the more outrageous the things he do are, that his friends will accept him, and his reputation will expand.
On the other side, you have Burn, who really just beats to his own drum. And in a way, he feels like he's helping Crash by what he does, but he goes about it in such kind of awful ways that Crash is like, who are you? Get away from me. You scare me.
Well, as you know, Burn isn't completely emotionally stable. And there are times in which Crash feels that he's the only one in the universe that really understands the depth of that. A lot of what I think Byrne does, he does to test Crash, because there's this constant battle, and in some respects, the battle between feeling and emotions and the ability to fit in. And Byrne isn't rejecting his emotions in the same way that Crash is.
Byrne seems overburdened with emotions, just having gone through so much loss in his life.
Right.
I mean, we can understand where he is coming from. He isn't a completely unsympathetic character.
Well, that was always the intent, that in some respects, what separates the two of these guys
and
is something that, you know, a lot of it is circumstance.
It is. And also, when you have a situation like this, you have a hostage situation happening in a high school. Crash even says, looking back at it, you can always pinpoint those students. Any high school student here or senior could tell you who the kids they thought that would be the ones to flip that switch and take it that step further.
Yeah, I think what's important there is that there really is a secret society of kids in high school that support each other, that each of them are doing with each other and to each other, that goes completely unrecognized by the teachers and other adult world. So these guys can put together a list, and the list may not be 100% accurate as between each other, but there may be names that pop up over and over again.
I think that Byrne needs to have that connection with Crash. Does Crash need that connection with Byrne?
I think he comes to understand it. I think that he doesn't necessarily want it, but it, in some respects, works out for him and validates him.
Aside from just the validation, though, the way that Byrne really makes Crash look at things in a different way and face sometimes the horrible truths that are out there, I can't see where Crash would be able to come to those instances or
early on. I think that Byrne says somewhere that, you know, I have the ability to look at things differently, and so do you. Even my sister, you mentioned Roxanne before, even my sister noticed that. And that's part of the validation process for Crash. And certainly getting back to Roxanne, she understood, and she always understands exactly what it is that's special about Crash and helps him with that.
I liked reading how their friendship and relationship morphed, and also how, obviously, coming from the same family as Byrne, she also has her issues, but how she handled them in a different way and how she felt that she was never good enough for someone like Crash.
Right. These characters became very real for me, and I recognized aspects of the characters in almost every teenager and adult that I met and tried to incorporate that. And as a result of that, I fell in love in the same way that the characters do with Crash and Roxanne and Byrne.
The name of the novel is Crash and Byrne. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Again, the name of Michael Hassan's novel is Crash and Byrne. It is published by Bowser and Bray. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.